Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, April the 30th. You know, when I look at the calendar, and April the 30th means the last day of the month, but it also means that one-third of 2021 has already passed. One-third of the year has already passed. You know, we were looking forward to 2021. I think many of us were hoping that this would be a more normal year. It's starting to head in that direction. I'm not saying it's 100% normal, but, you know, it's starting to feel that way, like we can at least get away from that terrible virus. But time flies. One-third of the year has already gone by. It's just absolutely amazing. Well, we got a couple of topics we want to get into today. The first one is what's happening on the border and the impact that this is starting to have on Democrats. Very interesting news coming out of the border, political news, that is, coming out of the border. And then Senator Scott, who I think did the country, not just the Republican Party, but the country a tremendous favor last night or the night before with that speech that he gave. Let's start on the border. Senator Kelly, Democrat, Arizona, was critical of President Biden for not saying anything about the border in that speech. Representative Cuellar, Democrat, South Texas, has been very critical of the Biden administration and their policies on the border. I would argue their lack of policies, but that's something else. Other Democrat, you know, local politicians, mayors and so on, down on the border, very critical as well. So what we have right now is a border that is a mess, a border where 130,000 people came in the month of March, or, you know, I don't know how many came in this month. And it's, the whole thing is chaotic. And it's starting to have an impact on the local communities. One of the mayors in one of the towns down there, or one of the people down there, was saying that, you know, they've seen an increase in car hijackings or carjackings, whatever they call it, stealing cars. They've seen an increase in crime because this is what happens. This is what happens. When thousands of people cross your border, even if 99.9% of them are just trying to get over here to have a better life, and that's probably the case, you're still going to have 1% of 100,000. That's a lot of people who are not, who are just, you know, criminals crossing over or escaping the law or whatever it may be. And so you have these elements now in the United States, and that's just creating a lot of local problems. Again, these are local problems. These are not the kinds of problems that you're going to watch on cable news. Maybe on Fox they bring it up, but the other networks completely avoid it. I'm not sure about the Spanish media if they're bringing this up. Maybe the stations down by the border maybe, but I don't know if the national Spanish coverage is or Spanish-speaking coverage is bringing this up, but you've got chaos in many of these border towns because this was nobody had warned them. Nobody had planned for 100,000 people crossing the border in the month of March. Where do you put these people? Where do you, you know, where do they go? Some of them, I guess, are being let go and they join families. But then you've got the other side of the story, which is very troubling. And that is many of these people are coming to the border because they're getting assistance, and I'm using the word assistance a little cynically here. They're getting help, I should say, from criminal elements. We've talked about this before. There was a great article in the Dallas Morning News a few weeks ago by the Mexico reporter, Alfredo Corchado, who gave examples of people who were paying money to come over here. So they bring you to the border, you pay whatever money you have. A lot of them don't have a lot of cash, so they're probably just, you know, they're just basically giving up whatever they have, maybe a tractor or maybe a car, and that sort of becomes the down payment. And then they say, and we'll pay the balance on the other side. So now all of a sudden you have criminal elements in Mexico who know where, let's say, somebody's brother lives in L.A. or whatever they're going. So now these people up here are being exposed to somebody knocking on the door at a very inopportune time and saying, hey, I'm here to pick up my payment. Where is it? And, you know, sometimes the people up here don't even know or they do know, but they don't have the cash. I mean, we're not talking about people here who have a lot of cash. So then you start, you know, you start probably implementing some pretty rough collection practices, as they like to say. And, you know, they come and say, well, you better get some of it, and I'll come back next week, and you better have some money. So you get all of these criminal consequences happening because we were not willing to enforce immigration laws on the border. Then you get states like Texas who have to deal with all of this, or Arizona or New Mexico or whatever it may be. I assume Southern California as well. And what you have is a total complete mess, and much of this is happening in parts of the country that are actually run by the Democrats. You know, many of those border towns are actually Democrat towns. They go back 100 years when Democrats ran these areas. So, I mean, it's a real problem, and it's a blue-on-blue problem. This is not – Trump has nothing to do with this. Republicans have nothing to do with this. And if you're a Democrat running for re-election in 2022, like Senator Kelly in Arizona, you're looking at this and you're going, man, I'm going to have to defend this? So I think a lot of them are starting to distance themselves a little bit from the administration. How believable that is, I don't know. I guess a lot depends on who runs against them. But it's a real problem. It's a real problem. And there's nothing that this administration has done so far to make me feel like they have a clue of what's going on. They don't. They simply acted, and now they don't know what to do. Now, the vice president is apparently having conversations with the president of Guatemala. They want to see what they can do to train the, you know, the Guatemala Border Patrol. But that's not the problem. The problem is not Guatemala. You know, the problem is that we did not enforce the laws or support U.S. Border Patrol. So it's a real mess. It's a real mess. And it's going to get messier. It's going to get messier. I think I mentioned at one time in these podcasts, or maybe in some of the articles I wrote, that there are going to be two big problems for the Democrats in 2022, gasoline prices and the border. And I think the border is starting to become a real problem for them. We're going to take a little break, and we will be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, talking a little bit about two of the big issues of the day. We were just talking about Democrats. Many of them are starting to speak out against the border crisis, and you can understand why, because this is all happening in their neighborhood, and they don't have any logical answers either. I mean, how do you tell people, gee, we're letting in all these people without checking them for COVID? You know, you've got this incredible television scene of the President of the United States addressing a Congress. All of them had been vaccinated, and they're all sitting like 10 feet apart from each other wearing a mask. So we're all so concerned about making sure that we don't spread COVID in Congress. But then on the other hand, we're letting people in through the border. Look, I'm not the only one who picks up on that. I think a lot of people on the border are seeing that incredible inconsistency and asking themselves, what the heck is going on? Probably using language a lot stronger than what the heck is going on. Well, a couple of nights ago, we had Senator Scott from South Carolina. He was the Republican who replied to President Biden. Now, to tell you the truth, most of these replies, I think they've been doing this for about 20 years. Most of these replies are usually an afterthought for most people. Most of the time, they end up being nothing because, you know, people tune in to see the president, and honestly, a reply at times just doesn't make any sense. It's often partisan, and I think a lot of people tune it out. But I believe the other night that Senator Scott was an exception to that, because I believe a lot of Americans did watch Senator Scott, and I believe a lot of Americans, like I did, bought into what he was saying. He gave a very thoughtful speech. He has obviously positioned himself to be either the number one or number two in 2024. I mean, he's everybody's choice for vice president. I can't think of anybody else who would be a better choice for vice president, even if you take into account that South Carolina is a pretty easy Republican state. And it's not like he's bringing electoral votes with him, because those votes Republicans already have. But nevertheless, I think he has so many other qualities beyond the Electoral College that would be absolutely great to have on the ticket. But he gave a great speech, and the line that everybody remembers, well, two lines I think that everybody remembers. The first one is when he pointed out that the Democrats had used the filibuster to stop his police reform bill. And then he said something along the lines, now they call it racist, the filibuster, but they used it against me, and they used it against President Trump, and it wasn't racist back then. But I think the key line of the whole night was when he said America is not a racist country. And that is what touched me, and I think a lot of other people, because we've been waiting for someone, an African-American leader, to say that. And this is not to deny the past. Nobody is denying the past. Nobody is denying that things in the past could have been better. Nobody's denying any of that. Nobody's denying segregation. Nobody's denying Jim Crow. Nobody's denying slavery. Nobody's denying any of that or that it happened. But at the same time, you cannot just talk about those things without mentioning the incredible effort that has been made in the United States to correct those mistakes. I mean, the mere fact that we elected a black man president and we now have a woman vice president who's black, I mean, come on. What more do you want? What more evidence do you want that we've put all this stuff behind us? But, the Democrats continue to use the racist card. Every time they don't have an argument for something, they play the racist card. And I was so happy to see Senator Scott say, America is not a racist country. But it must have been a very good speech, because if you listen to some of the attacks on Senator Scott, I mean, you've got people saying he should be embarrassed. Really? You've got people, even somebody was calling him some Uncle Tom or something, which is really remarkable. They did it on Twitter, by the way, and it took a while for Twitter to take that down. I think they did take it down eventually. But I mean, come on, somebody calling this man an Uncle Tom? That is, that should be completely, completely marginalized. I mean, whoever wrote that should be thrown out of Twitter. I mean, I don't do Twitter anymore because I frankly got fed up with the way they would take this guy off and they would leave this guy. And I just felt that the whole darn thing was very inconsistent. In my opinion, Twitter should allow everybody to post and let us decide whether to read it or not. But anyway, that's another topic. But somebody, the Twitter was really going crazy attacking Scott. I think some of it has died down a little bit, but it really shows you how effective the speech was. If the left went that crazy over that speech, what it tells me is that that speech was very successful. And I just want to congratulate Senator Scott, not so much because he's a Republican, but because he said something that had to be said, something that the country needed to hear, and that is that America is not a racist country. And that's a wonderful thing for him to say, because it's true. It's absolutely true. Again, it doesn't deny the past, doesn't deny mistakes in the past, but in the context of history, not just American history, but in the context of world history, America is not a racist country, believe me. There's a lot worse places and a lot worse places in the history of the world than the United States. And I don't know of too many countries that have done as much to correct mistakes as the United States. So congratulations, Senator Scott. A couple of quick things on this day in Hitler. This was the day that Hitler apparently committed suicide back in 1945, or he was actually killed by somebody. I don't know exactly how it happened, but he died on this day. And in 1789, on this day, George Washington became the first president of the United States. He was inaugurated April 30th, 1789. Well, thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll talk to you the next time with Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda, on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.